The gospel lesson today is taken from Luke 9. I'll be reading from 28 to 36. You'll see that the lectionary readings has us go through verse 43, but I'm not doing the verses that are in parentheses, just staying with the primary lectionary text. And if you'd like to follow along on the insert, you may do that, or you could just hear the word of God read. This is the good news about Jesus. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. Well, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for mountaintop experiences, so many in our own life, we might call that. Jesus had many. Moses had many. We thank you that you not only visit us in the mountains, but also in the valley, and you meet with us now. And for this, we give thanks that we might hear what we need to hear so that we can do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what's referred to as using FaceTime? Video call, you get your phone out and you could call, you know, a loved one or someone else and you could see their picture, it's like a live video call. Well, it is a live video call. And it's very, very cool. You know, anybody here go to the New York World's Fair, 1964? How many hands? Put them up there. Look at that. So many. You know, the New York World's Fair was very cool. And one of the things you'll remember there was the Bell telephone exhibit. Yeah, this is why, while AT&T was Bell. Right, so this is back in the dark ages. But at the Bell telephone exhibit, do you remember what they demonstrated? Live video calls. Do you remember that? The box was like huge. You sat down at the desk. You could like do a little test from one side of the room to the other side of the room, the lobby. And they had it set up. It was hardwired. The image was awful, the size of just like, you know, a can lid. But you were able to see a conversation and hear a conversation going on from across the room. Huh? Yeah. And Bell Telephone, in all their pomp and circumstance around the future-looking, forward-looking technology, was that someday you're going to be seated in your house and you're going to have a conversation with someone down the street using your phone. Isn't that amazing? Well, it took a little while for them to get this right. But now it's as easy as picking up your smartphone and pressing a button. In fact, our church got a grant from the Presbytery of West Jersey, a mission grant, and part of that money is being used to fund a ministry we want to do with those suffering from the opioid epidemic called Thriving Families that will be starting in another month or so. But the other part of the grant is used to help live stream our worship and other events to those who can't be here. So that we'll get a camera, it'll be up there somewhere, and during the service, people who can't make it to worship today, people who are traveling, people who are in Florida for winter, if they want, they could just go onto their smartphone or their tablet or their computer and actually experience our worship service live. And if they can't do it at 10:30, it's going to be online on our website, so you could go back and listen. And it'll be edited, so it won't be the whole hour, but it will have some of the singing, it'll have the children's message, some of the message, and it'll just be a way for us to connect when we're not able to be together. That kind of FaceTime, that kind of connecting is a very powerful way of including people who just can't be here right now, or people who in the future weeks to come want to go back and experience something that we experienced. Also, when we have special events, when we do special things over in Price Hall, those things will be recorded as well so that we can extend the reach of this congregation. You know, Moses didn't have that luxury. He didn't have the luxury, like you and I, he didn't know of the luxury of having a face-to-face conversation with God that we've come to know through Christ, that you can actually pause wherever you are, at any time of day, at any location. You don't even need a smartphone. And you could just pause and you could talk to God. Did you know that? We've been reminding people of this for centuries. You could just pause and talk to God. In fact, why don't we just right now pause for a moment? If you want to bow your head, you may. Just for a moment. Just pause and just let's recognize God's presence. And whatever that presence needs to be for you, you've got it. You need to hear God's forgiveness this morning. You got it. You need to be reminded of how great, how blessed you are, gratitude for other experiences, for people in your life. You got it. Do you have anything that you need from God? Maybe you just need your eyes to work better. Maybe you need a friend. Maybe you need some other needs in your life met, or whatever it is. Just in this moment, let God know. You got it. And you may be blessed with resources. There are people with need all around. Maybe God wants to tug at your heart, inspire your mind, to give in a different way, to volunteer time, to connect in some new way, to pick up a phone or send an email or do a video call to someone who needs to hear from you. You got it. Amen. So in these kinds of experiences, Moses wasn't able to have that kind of intimate relationship with God. They of course prayed to God, they sang to God, they danced to God, they did all sorts of things with God, for God, and to God. But that kind of intimate relationship that Jesus brought our way, they had no clue. And so Moses, when he went up to the mountaintop, you remember that experience? Remember, and then he came down after some 40 days. And what is it he brought down with him? The Ten Commandments, that's right. But there was such a clamor when he came down the mountain. It's almost like how annoying it can be on an airplane ride when you're trying to get settled, you're trying to adjust your earphones, you're trying to make one last phone call before departure, and the cabin attendants or the video in front of you is blaring, and now please make sure your seats are in their upright position, and the exits are here and the exits are there, and all these other kinds of direct. And it's like, oh, and I've heard this like so many times, and it could be distracting. Well, the distracting thing that Moses brought with him down, it wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was his face was lit up like a lantern. His face was beaming because he actually had FaceTime with God. In fact, the scriptures, as they tell the story in Exodus, in the earlier chapters, chapter 33 and 34, that experience of Moses on the mountain, it isn't that he saw God's face as much as God says, listen, I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. Remember, there are lots of hymns about the cleft of the rock. This is the image where the image comes from this. And God put Moses in the cleft of the rock, hidden, so that when God passed by, his glory, that abundant, amazing, overwhelming, bright light of God, the light of God, that he would have his eyes closed, but God would pass by, and Moses could only glimpse at the back of God as he passed. Just that little bit of exposure to God's brightness transfigured Moses' face. When he looked in the mirror in the morning, he needed sunglasses. That God's brightness, that experience, now it's not really about the light or that it was uncomfortable for Moses, because coming down the mountain, it was a great distraction. And he'd want to talk to the people about these cool tablets that he brought, not an iPad, but the other kind of tablets. They were on stone tablets, nothing that could fit in your pocket. And he was there trying to relate to them this important message from God, and they weren't even able to look at Moses because his face was just distracting. It was like blinding them. And so they said, Moses, you got to wear a veil, dude. You got to cover the face. We can't hold it. Are you talking right? I hear you, but we cannot open our eyes. In order for Moses to have a sense of communicating face-to-face with his people, he needed to put a veil on because his face-to-face encounter with God touched his life in such a way that it just transformed him. And likewise, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray. Why did they go to mountains to pray? Well, I don't know, really, but it's a common symbol that when you're up high, you're closer to God. It's an analogy. It's, an extended metaphor. But when you're high on a mountain, you can think great thoughts, and you can commune with God. And that's why I said that God also meets us in the valley, because God is everywhere. But in Jesus' time, going up to a mountain, even today's language, we talk about having a mountaintop experience as if you can't have valley bottom experiences. But a mountaintop experience. So they would go up to a mountain, and that's where they prayed. Peter, James, and John, they were up there. They were hanging out for a while. And then all of a sudden, Jesus' countenance began to glow. But unlike Moses, where it was an external light that had such an impact on his face time with God that his face retained some of that glory. In this particular time with Jesus, Jesus glowed from the inside out. There was no bright light that his clothes picked up like a fluorescent paint. No, Jesus' glow, his glory, it's as if Jesus removed his veil of his godliness, his God's sonness. And so that glory shone all about him. And the disciples likewise couldn't see. And so God brought a cloud that began to sort of protect them from the brightness of the light. But who did they see up on the mountain but Moses and Elijah, who was to the Jews of that time sort of the old and the new parts of the covenant. Moses, the early tablets, and Elijah, the second giving of the law, the prophecy. So we had represented the book of the law with Moses and the book of the prophets with Elijah. And Moses, he would have known everything there was to know about glowing. And it's sort of, that's why this passage in our lectionary readings pairs our gospel lesson from Luke with the story of Moses. Because both are examples of face time with God. But you know, Jesus didn't always walk around with a bright glow on us, showing his glory all the time. We couldn't bear it. And so at the end of the passage, as they were leaving, Peter says, I want to live here for a while. I want to build a couple tents. Let's hang out with Moses and Elijah. This is cool. And of course, Jesus says, no, because our ministry is not on a mountain, but it's down in the valley. So this was to prepare you for the valleys to come. This FaceTime experience was going to prepare you for FaceTime experiences that you would have later. And so in that preparation, they leave the mountain. They weren't able to understand it all. And so the verse 36 says, "And when the voice that said, 'This is my son, my chosen,' listened to him, that Jesus was found alone, Moses and Elijah away, and they kept silent and in those days told no one about the things that they had seen." Because how in the world could they describe that? We're up on a mountain, all of a sudden. I mean, it even sounds incredible to us all these years later. And we perhaps have overheard the story many times. You know, many of us know about Facebook. And so Facebook is certainly something that's supposed to be talking about faces in a book, and it's more than that and not even a book. It's not an intentional story that you open to discover perhaps a history of your ancestors. It's not a book you might read from cover to cover with a theme and a plot. It's not like that. Facebook is simply a collection of moments that have been gathered together. In fact, the new acronym for TGIF is not, what is the one we're most familiar with? Thank goodness it's Friday. It's Twitter, Google, Facebook, Instagram, and Facebook. And so this new four-letter TGIF is how our culture is connecting together, but it's nothing like the FaceTime that God wants for us. In other words, if you have a great relationship, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all the rest can be a tremendous tool. But to build face-to-face relationships, to build relationships of trust, to build conversation that has meaning and depth, and to tell stories that have a beginning that move forward into the future, you need much more than the technology alone. The conversations that we need with God aren't necessary to have a tablet. It isn't necessary for us to have the technicalities. Stained glass windows are beautiful. This sanctuary is beautiful. Lots of memories have occurred here. But this is not the kind of FaceTime that God wants. God wants the kind of FaceTime that when we pause and reflect, we know that God is present with us. That God is just as much in front of our life as we need. In fact, it's pretty good that Moses only saw the back of God, because if Moses saw the front of God, he probably would have been destroyed. And we really want to follow where God is going, right? We don't want to get in front of God as if to get in his way. We want to stay behind. And so when Jesus makes his appearance in our life, you can imagine how shocked the early disciples were that, what? You're God? No, 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 no. God, a mountain, light, can't look, is blinding, power, I'll die if I look again. Jesus says, no, if you want to see God, you want to know what God would do, see what I have done. You want to know what God would say to you today if God were here? Here I am. And so Jesus, God cared enough about his FaceTime with us that he sent Jesus to us to be face-to-face with us. He ate our foods. He danced to our music. He talked to us in the streets. He met us where we work. He met us where we learned. He met us in the synagogue and met us in the place where your mom says, never go there. Jesus treated us on days when we're being our best. He is right there. And on those days that we don't even want to think about again, Jesus is right there. Because Jesus has come to be that FaceTime with God. He came here to show us the way of God. And he's invited all of us on a journey. And what better time of year than Lent to contemplate then these 40 days that are about to begin. And again, you may or may not have some dietary things you may want to do. You may have some practices you may want to do. Maybe going to an Ash Wednesday service if you haven't been to one for a while, or never maybe. Come to ours on Wednesday. It's 45 minutes, and we'll treat you with some fun food after. Or perhaps you and your Lenten journey will be more quietly contemplation time, a time for you to remember that in this walk day to day, that you're heading toward Easter, but God wants FaceTime with you every single day. To help us on that journey, we have some Lenten devotionals that you're free to take on your way out today. It's a magazine format. It's by our Theology of Worship and Music at the Presbyterian Mission Agency. It's great, solid stuff, beautiful photography, wonderful scripture references. And if you care to take a magazine, you may want to commit to reading through this during your 40 days of Lent. And if so, maybe you'll have an occasion to share that story with someone you meet along the way. Because God's FaceTime with us stimulates and inspires us to have FaceTime with other people so that the story of Jesus can be shared as we go along. So whatever you need from God today, FaceTime. Whatever you want to give to God today, FaceTime. All of us want to be closer in our relationship with Christ, and Jesus stands in our midst and says, "Come and follow me." The journey is difficult, and you're going to stumble and fall, but we're heading in the right direction. You got this. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for Moses. We thank you for Elijah. And Peter, James, and John, when they were face to face with Jesus. Lord, help us to experience that. Help us to show people where they can find God's face this week. Help us to see God's face this week in the lives of people that we meet, the faces of children, and the opportunities that we face during the week. Help us to see your face. Lord, we want to see the face of God, and we will live. Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to have FaceTime. And thank you that you've promised to see us through. In Jesus' name, amen.